Is your doctor white? I know, that's personal. But I'm willing to bet the answer is yes. Oh, don't worry. It's not anything about you personally that gives it away. You? You're just a patient in 2023. The year when 22,981 students matriculated to medical school, of whom 9,534 were white. That's 41.5%, in case you're wondering. Everyone else makes up the rest. And that seems like a lot, doesn't it? It's over half of the matriculant population, after all. Sure, I mean, only 1,845 of them were black. That's only 8%. And only 1,493 were Hispanic. Like me. Only 6% were like me. Only 19 were Pacific Islanders. 0.08%. But with 58.5% of matriculants not identifying as white, the physician population has to be diverse, right? Wrong. But I'm sure you already guessed that. 8%, 6%, 0.08%? That is not diversity. Not for the world we live in. Yes, the numbers of historically underrepresented medical students are increasing. Yes, there are more Black, Brown, Native American, Asian, Pacific Islander students than before. But that increase is statistically insignificant. The overall U.S. population is growing so diverse so fast, and the physician population is staying white. But what does it matter? A doctor is a doctor. Who cares what their race is, their gender, their sexuality? I care. The minority populations in the U.S., Black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Native American people, Pacific Islanders, women, the LGBTQ+ community, the disabled community, those who have suffered the most at the hands of a white male doctor who was their only choice. They care. They care because underrepresented minority physicians, URM physicians, if you want to be brief, are more likely to practice in underserved areas, you know, the places with mostly minority populations, than a non-Hispanic white physician. They care because 54.8% of URM physicians reported an intention, a desire, to work with underserved populations, while only 31.6% of white physicians intend to provide care for them. Don't you want a doctor that wants to care for you? I do. They do. They care because 13% of the U.S. population is Black, and only 5% of U.S. physicians are Black. And the AAMC, the Association of American Medical Colleges, that which controls the medical school population, knows, acknowledges, and admits that when your doctor is like you, can relate to your life experiences, whether that be through your gender, race, sexuality, that you feel you are better cared for, and that your medical outcomes improve. So yeah, Black people deserve the choice to have a Black doctor. But that's kind of hard when there aren't enough of them. They care because women physicians, who are only 32.5% of the physician workforce, are more likely to care for, you guessed it, women. They are more likely to care for people with psychosocial issues and are more likely to provide preventative care and counseling. Female patients, like me, and like some of you, are 3 times more likely to survive a heart attack if we're treated by a female doctor. Personally, I would like to survive a heart attack, if given the chance. They care because URM physicians care for 54% of minority patients and 70.4% of non-English speaking patients. They are more likely to care for the people on Medicaid. My grandparents, and maybe yours too. They care because LGBTQ+ physicians play crucial roles in managing crises like HIV/AIDS. And they certainly understand other queer people better than most. Minority populations care about who their doctor is for all these reasons and more. And if the research and statistics and AAMC board members know that a diverse physician population would benefit these minority populations, why is it still so white? Well, there are three easy answers. Exposure, resources, and burnout. The first one is easy. Exposure to someone already in medicine is pretty hard when there is hardly anyone like you in medicine. And exposure is everything. If there is no exposure, there is less of a chance. Resources, the second reason, are harder to come by when you're a minority. And that's not to say white people can't be poor or people of color can't be rich. But we all know, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that wealth in the U.S. favors white people, and minorities are often left with little. So, when you can't afford thousands of dollars of MCAT prep, where does that leave you? It leaves you less likely to get into medical school. But let's say you beat those odds. You're here. You made it. Now, you're a woman physician whose burnout chances are 48%. That's 10% more than a man's, by the way. And how could they not be? You spend more time on childcare, elder care, domestic responsibilities than a man does. And that's not your fault. Of course it's not. Society made it that way. But society doesn't care that you're a physician working 50 hours a week on top of your gendered duties. Let's not even get into the fact you're less recognized for awards, accolades, or the fact you experience more gender-based discrimination. Well, maybe things are better for URMs of a minority race. Hardly. You were burned out when you got here. You struggled with exposure and resources long before you were ever a doctor. Now you're more likely to see medically and psychosocially complex patients. And yes, you care for them deeply. But your work environment is challenging and sometimes downright depressing. Maybe you would feel better if you left it behind. Are LGBTQ+ doctors faring any better? No, not really. Harassment, ostracization, discrimination from patients or colleagues, it doesn't matter. It wears you out, all the same. Now we're at the end, and I wish I could tell you something inspiring or hopeful or encouraging. But the facts are the facts. The world is diverse. It is growing and changing so fast, too fast. The physician population can't keep up, and patients will suffer for it. Medical schools remain inaccessible for so many, and the physician population is suffering for it. But all this is not to say you should not try. 1,000 minority physicians is better than none. And they will make a difference to someone. The first step to a solution is to recognize the problem. We're there. Me and you and everyone else listening, we are at the first step. Now, we move forward to a better tomorrow.